is the last phrase that I just read, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. We're familiar with this verse, and we know that it says we paraphrase it differently, that the anointing shall break the yoke. We know that that's true. We know that the anointing of God does break every kind of yoke. What is a yoke? A yoke is something that binds us, something that restricts our movement, something that oppresses us, something that robs from us, something that enslaves us and holds us in bondage to it. In the Old Testament, God spoke to Israel and said that when they were in bondage in Egypt, they were under a yoke. In the book of Deuteronomy, God said that the enemies of Israel would put a yoke of iron around their neck. We have yokes in this life. Some of us in this very room are perhaps enslaved by a yoke of one sort or another. If you're lost, if you're not saved, if you have not been born again from above, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, you certainly are enslaved by a yoke. There are sins that enslave us and yoke us. Bad habits that bring us into bondage. There are negative circumstances like sickness and disease and poverty and infirmity of one sort or another that form like a yoke upon us that keep us from being all that we are to be as new creatures in Christ Jesus. A problem in the family, a brokenness in the family, rebellion in the family, dysfunction, I believe it's now called, in the family, can be a form of a yoke. And maybe God will give a miracle like he did through Gideon at the rock Oreb over the Midianites and set you free from your yoke. Maybe God will give a miracle like he did when Moses stretched forth the rod over the Red Sea and the sea parted and Israel went right through it and they were delivered from the yoke of Egyptian slavery and bondage. But there's more to this verse than what we have normally ascribed to it. While it is true that the anointing of God does break every yoke and that God does give on occasion miraculous deliverances from yokes of one sort or another, the word anointing in this verse is not translated in the best possible way. The word anointing here comes from the Hebrew word that means literally grease, as the liquid that comes from the olive. It means the fat of the olive. It means in most places this word is used in the Old Testament, it is translated oil. In other places it is translated fatness. If you have a New International Version that you're reading today, or you have an Amplified Bible or some other translation, it may read thusly. And if you listen carefully, you begin to see very quickly, I think, where I'm going. And as I was reading this verse this week and came upon this quite by accident, it just opened up something for me that I felt I needed to share with you. The NIV translates this phrase this way: in that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken, listen, because you have grown so fat. The Amplified Bible says, the yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness, which prevents it from any longer be going around your neck. Now, that's a completely different meaning, isn't it, to that verse than we have commonly understood. What is the significance of that? What's the significance of the fact that God said the yoke will be broken because you've grown so fat, or that you will be so fat that the yoke can no longer be put upon you? How many of you have come up around the circle, the outside of the building, and dropped off folks at the stairway up here? Let me see your hands. You have observed what has happened, haven't you, around the pine trees on the parking lot? Now, at the time if I can use this analogy, let's think of the pine trees as us. And let's think of the asphalt as a yoke. Someone put a yoke of asphalt around those pine trees about 25 years ago. 1968, I think, is when this building was built. And someone put a yoke of asphalt around those pine trees. But something's happened to the pine trees over the years. The pine trees have grown fat. They've grown thick with their fatness. The roots of those pine trees have grown fat, and they've grown thick with their fatness as they've grown. Over a period of time, they just have grown. God has established pine trees to grow like that, and they grew. Do you know what happened to the yoke? The yoke is now broken. The yoke was unable to hold the pine trees in bondage while they were growing. Fat. Are you listening to me? Do you begin to understand what this verse is really saying? There was no way to keep those pine trees under the yoke as long as they were growing. Now, I think it's that way in our lives too. And it seems to me that we have three choices concerning the yokes of this life. One is, we can allow the yokes of this present life to choke us and bind us and keep us so burdened that no one will ever see growth in us, will ever see life in us, will ever see Jesus in us. That's one choice. Oh yes, you can be saved and you can go on to heaven when you die and you can be with God forever, but in this life nobody will ever see Jesus in you because of the yoke that has been put around your neck. The second option is, you can wait for a miracle. You can go to every miracle service. You can lay hands on your television every time the TV healer says, put your hands on the TV and pray with me. You can go, and I'm not mocking that, understand, I'm just making a point. You can come in the healing line every time we have a prayer line. You can put your name on the prayer chain every week. You can even go out here and sit along Highway 5 and hope Jesus will come along and give you your miracle. Miracles still do occur. Thank God miracles occur. Thank God the anointing of God's Holy Spirit does come into our lives and supernaturally break yokes, because they have surrounded us so powerfully that we have not enough strength to break them ourselves. But there's a third choice. And that third choice is the one I believe the Lord is wanting to encourage us in today, and that is, begin to partake of God's oil. Begin to partake of His fatness, His bountiful goodness, and grow out of the yoke. Grow so fat. You understand fat? Spiritually fat. Grow so spiritually fat that the yoke cannot hold you any longer, that it will break and no other yoke can be placed upon you. I believe that Christians can live like that. I think very few of us are. But I believe it's our fault, not God's. Psalm 34. Now, if you've got your Bible with you this morning, please follow me. I'm going to refer to a number of scriptures here just briefly. We'll be moving rather quickly through them. If you're not real familiar with your Bible yet, you might want to just take the back of your bulletin or a piece of scrap paper and just jot these scripture verses down. Look at them later. The first one is Psalm 34 and verse 8. Many of these scriptures, I think, will begin to come more alive to us as we understand the principle that we're dealing with this morning from Isaiah 10:27. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you taste the Lord? How can you taste Him? See, in John 1 and 1, it says, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In John 1, 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How can you taste the Lord? You eat His Word. You eat His Word. How do you draw upon the fatness of the Lord? You draw upon it through His Word. Skinny Christians, spiritually skinny and spiritually weak Christians, are those that do not feed upon the fatness of God's holy Word. You cannot spend time in this Word and be a skinny, weak spiritual Christian. It is impossible. It's impossible. I'll show you why a little later. Psalm 36 and verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Psalm 63 and verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Psalm 65 and verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Hallelujah. Just dripping with it. The paths of God are just dripping with fatness. And what happens because of the fatness? The yokes are destroyed. Amen. Isaiah 58 and verse 55. Isaiah 58. It's verse 11, I'm sorry. 58, 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Isaiah 55 and verse 2. Verse 1 and 2, I guess maybe we better read. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not really bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. One of the true things that Eliphaz told Job during Job's great trial was he encouraged Job to acquaint himself with the Lord, thereby good shall come unto thee. I think that's a mistake that we have made in greater or lesser degree. We don't really know the fullness of God. We don't know the fullness of that which He has for us, that which He desires for us. We don't know what it means to be fat with the things of God. I think some of us used to be fat, but we're not fat anymore. And that is to our detriment. That is to our detriment. That is not a compliment, but rather a caution for us, that we need to taste and see that the Lord is good, that the yokes that come upon us because for the most part we permit them to come upon us. Now, I think the question that we want to ask today is this one. Would you agree with me that God's anointing does break the yoke? That His miraculous power is sufficient to crush any yoke that binds us? Okay. Which is better? To allow the yoke to be placed about your neck and the burden to be bound to you and then waiting for a miracle from God, or making your neck so fat that no yoke will ever fit it? Is it easier to get the yoke off someone once it's fastened on? Or is it easier to keep it from ever getting on there in the first place? Is it better to be so fat with health that sickness cannot put its yoke around you? Or is it better to go from sickness to sickness and get healing to healing? Which is better? Is it better to go from experience financial difficulty and poverty so that you need a miracle of God to get the yoke off you? Or is it better to be so fat with the prosperity of God that the yoke doesn't fit around you? Is it better to get a miracle of God for a deliverance from an oppression, or is it better to be so fat with the power of God that the oppression can never attach itself to you? I think it's a matter of priority. That's the way it seems to me. It seems to me that our priority and our emphasis ought to be, let me explain it this way. One day, right here, at an evening service, we were concluding an evening service. There was a man in the service that night who was visiting in the service. He was there for the first time and last time. I never saw him before or since. At the conclusion of the service, he came up to me, and we were just chatting, and I introduced myself and he to me, and I asked him a question, how you doing, what's going on, something like that, you know. And he said, well, I'm fighting the flesh and I'm fighting the devil. I'm just fighting hard every day. I'll never forget that man. I don't remember his name, but I do remember his problem. His problem was he needed a miracle from God every day. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across? He did not understand that we ought to be walking in the fatness of God. The emphasis is on the positive rather than the negative. Let's look at Colossians just a moment. And the third chapter. I'm going to give you several references here from the Old and the New Testament as we establish a perspective. I believe this is what God's trying to get across to his people in Isaiah. He's saying that I'm going to make you so fat that the yoke of the Syrian oppression will not be able to lock around your neck. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, do you know people who are chasing devils all the time? All the time. Now, how many of you know the devil is real? And how many of you know that we should resist him when he comes against us and when he attacks us? How many of you know that we have authority and power over him in our battle against him? But how many of you know that that is not the kind of life that God wants us to live? The Bible doesn't say, set your sights on the devil. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Colossians 1 and 1. For ye are dead in your life, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Turn back a few pages to Galatians 5. So many people fighting against the desires and the passions of their flesh, trying to live clean, trying to stay clean. The emphasis is wrong. Galatians 5 and verse 16. This I say then, how do you avoid fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Matthew 6, 33. Jesus talking here about our financial welfare. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, so on and so forth. Verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what will happen? See, you'll be so fat that poverty can't attach itself to you. Seek God and His righteousness first. Joshua 1. Let's look there. You find Joshua in the Old Testament? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Those of you who are quick-fingered, find Psalm 1. The first one is Joshua 1:8. This is God's instruction to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What book is he talking about? The Word of God, the Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. No yokes. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16. Which is less painful? Pulling the arrows out after they have gone into your body, or preventing the arrows from touching your body? The latter. Above all, Paul said, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench most, all of the fiery darts of the wicked. This is another way of saying, isn't it? That the yoke shall be destroyed because of your spiritual fatness, the yoke shall not be able to attach itself around you. Does that compare? And then finally, let's go to Matthew 5. And verse number 6. Blessed are they, Jesus said, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, this, the Greek word that is translated here, filled, you know what it literally means? Gorged. Gorged. Fattened. I read before, early on in the service, and not knowing what was coming, I'm not sure that you caught this, but let me just read it again from the 23rd Psalm. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The idea there is, God, you have made me, you have provided for me so, you have made me so spiritually fat that there's no way that my enemy can ever put a yoke around me. Their yoke is not big enough for the fatness of my neck. And so, in summary today, I would just say this. We can either, and this is a decision that we have to make. I promised you that I would show you another verse, didn't I? Mark chapter 4. This is an important passage. Notice the 14th verse. This is the parable of the sower. And the four types of soil on which the word was sown. Remember, the sower went out, sowed the seed on the path, and the birds came and got it, so on and so forth. The 14th verse, Jesus said that the sower soweth the word. And when he talks about seed, he's talking here about the word of God. So let's go over to the 26th verse. And he, Jesus, said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. When the fruit is brought forth, then it's harvest time. Immediately putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, what's the principle? The principle is, if you and I will truly feed upon the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking here about having one meal a week on Sunday morning. For if that's all you had for your physical body, you'd be one physical wreck. If all you had was one meal a week, some of us could stand to do that short term for other reasons. But after a period of time, we'd be very weak, wouldn't we? One meal a week. You can't live spiritually that way either. If you find yourself going from one crisis to the next, you have one yoke, and you just get it off you, and another yoke, and you get that one off you, and another yoke, and you get that one off you, you're not fat enough. If in your house you go from one sickness to another, you're not fat enough. It is the fatness that destroys the yoke. If in my house we went from one sickness to another, every member of the family would just round, I would want to get pretty fat on healing. I think I would make that a part of our family Bible study. We may preach healing here once every other month or once a quarter. That's not going to be enough to get the yoke off your back if you're having trouble with that, if you're not fat in that area. Now, what Jesus said is that you may ask the question, well, I don't understand how the Word of God will do that. He said the Word of God has a power in it, just like a seed that goes into the ground. You go out in your garden, you put bean seeds in the garden in April. You don't know what happens under there. You don't know the miracle that causes that seed to, first of all, bring forth, then comes a little shoot, then the full plant. The next thing you know, you're eating beans. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, the scripture says. The seed of God's word in our heart does the same thing. If you plant that word in there, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you keep coming to church here, you can't help but get saved. Because that word's going to get in you, that word's going to get a little bit here, a little bit there, line upon line, precept upon precept. First thing you know, it's going to dawn upon you that you are a lost goose. And you're going to decide, why should I stay that way? There's no need for me to stay that way. I'm just going to give my heart to the Lord. He's going to save me and give me life everlasting. Because the word, see, as it goes forth, as it goes into you, it is like seed going in the ground. The seed has the power in it. The earth has everything else that it needs. And when you put seed and earth together, you're going to get first a shoot and then a plant and then full fruit, and then you're eating it. That's what happens when the Word of God goes in you. When God's Word goes into your heart, there's a power in the Word, and there's a power in the receiving of your heart, that you put the two of those together, and you're going to get spiritual fruit from that. You're going to get spiritual fatness from that. You're going to get so spiritually fat that the devil can't get his yoke around you. He can't get his yoke of sickness around you. He can't get his yoke of oppression around you. You'll be so filled with joy that when he tries to put the yoke of heaviness around you, it won't go around you. It won't fit around you. You will be too fat with the joy of the Lord. You'll be so fat with the peace of God that when he tries to put confusion in your life, he will not be able to put the yoke around you. It won't fit. You'll go like this because your peace makes you so fat. You'll be so fat with health that sickness cannot get a hold of your body. You'll be so fat with prosperity that poverty cannot get its yoke around you. It just cannot happen. And that is what God's word is saying, that it is the yoke is destroyed because of the fatness of the human spirit. And the only way the human spirit gets fat, I'm talking about fat, and I'm talking about sloppy fat. This word means grease. No, I don't like to eat grease either. But when you eat the word, it turns to spiritual grease, if you understand. Talking about really fat. We're talking about, here comes the farm story. How many of you have ever raised slaughter animals? A couple of you. Most animals running around the farm, you can see every bone in their body. You look at a bovine. Let me see your hands if you know what a bovine is. Beef, bovine. Cow, steer, something. You can see the hip bones on those cows. You can see probably the ribs, and you can see the bones at the shoulders. They're very well defined. But if you go to a place where they fatten beef cattle, those cattle are so fat and so sleek that you can't see the bones. All you see is this sleek fatness all around them. Now, if you know what that means, it'll make you drool when you get around them. But spiritually, that's what God's Word does for believers. When you take the Word into you, you keep taking it in, you keep taking it in, you keep taking it in. And I'm going to say again, you're not going to get enough of it here on Sunday. You just won't get enough. It's not enough to keep you fat. It'll keep you alive. The same way that, your Sunday dinner will keep you alive if that's all you have. You can stay alive on that, but you can't stay well. You can stay alive on one spiritual meal a week, but you can't stay well on it. You'll have to fight the yokes. The yoke is destroyed because of the fatness. I want to be fat. Let's have everybody on their feet, please. We're going to sing. I'm going to ask Sally to play a little chorus that we like to sing. It's called Jesus Breaks Every Fetter.